In chapter 6.12, I will talk about entropies and free energies. In general, in this course, we assume actually that entropy effects are not important or that the temperatures is very low. And in this case, of course, we know that a system typically wants to be in a state that minimizes its energy. So if you have a molecule or also a solid, that means the system is in a minimum, local minimum or global minimum of the potential energy surface. And well, yeah, it tries to find the lowest minimum. Now at finer temperature, actually we have to consider other effects. If we have now a minimum on the potential energy surface, then of course we know also in a classical picture that if the temperature is non-zero, the particle will not be exactly in this minimum. Instead, it will rather kind of oscillate around this minimum. So quantum mechanically, then of course we have the vibrational levels that can be calculated, yeah, quantum mechanically. And then it can be that a minimum that has a small number of vibrational levels is kind of higher in free energy than another level that has a very large number of vibrational levels. So that's expressed by the formula that the free energy, right, is the energy minus T mal S. And well, if we know now all the quantum mechanical levels of this macro state, right, so macro state would be just a certain configuration of a molecule, which, as I said again, already corresponds to a minimum on the local potential energy surface. So in this case, we have then to sum that equation 127 over all the vibrational levels to get the free energy of this macro state, right? So micro state would be a single vibrational level, and the macro state is, I mean, that's a certain configuration, right, of the molecule. If we want to calculate its free energy, we have to use is equation 127. Well, now, of course, for a realistic complex system, the number of vibrational levels can be very, very large, and it can be very difficult to calculate this sum 127 exactly. Well, in certain cases, we can calculate the vibrational levels analytically. And well, that's the case if we assume that the potential energy surface is purely harmonic, so that it can be approximated very well by a Taylor expression up to second order. And there actually, you know, from solid state physics that for such a potential, the energy levels are given by this formula 128. So we have different vibrational frequencies, omega L, and then we have those quantum numbers N that kind of tells us how many of those levels are occupied, how strongly they are occupied. So if now the energy levels are given by this equation 128, then okay, in equation 129, again I give now explicitly, I mean the energy arising from all those vibrational levels, and if we plug now this energy 129 into our formula for the free energy, equation 127, then actually it turns out that we can solve everything analytically. So that's shown here on page 144, right? Because in the exponent, our energy is a sum of the different corresponding to different vibrations omega L. We can write is as a product, and then it turns out each term in this product actually is a geometric series that we can sum exactly, and in this way then we get an analytical result which is then shown in equation 130. Okay, so we see again what is important. I mean, if you want to calculate this vibrational free energy, then we just have to know the vibrational frequencies omega L, not more than that, and those actually vibrational frequencies, they can calculate it in a purely classical way, just by looking kind of in on this potential energy surface. If you would put there harmonic oscillators, with what frequencies would they kind of oscillate? Of course, this a harmonic approximation will fail if we go to, for instance, very high temperatures, where then all of a sudden the system still can explore regions of the potential energy surface that are relatively far away from the minimum, and therefore not anymore well described by a Taylor expansion up to a second order. Also, I mean, if we have kind of floppy molecules where we have directions with very, very small curvature, that means we would have very slow vibrational movements. If you move along this direction, then typically also you encounter a non-harmonic behavior, and therefore then also our equation 130 would not be would not give a very accurate free energy. So now, if we know that unharmonic effects are very important, then actually we can use other methods. Whereas now here, equation 130, right, was derived on a quantum mechanical basis. Now I will treat kind of, or I'll show you how to treat unharmonic effects now classically, so not quantum mechanically. So the classical formula for the free energy is this equation 131. And you see here, now we have to integrate over the so-called phase space, right? We have to integrate not only over the coordinates r, and we have n of them, of course, if we have n particles, but also we have to integrate over the momenta p. Well, and the function we have to integrate in the classical context, of course, is a Boltzmann distribution. Probably also, you know, there's still this factor n factorial, which takes into account that we have non-distinguishable particles in general. So now this equation 131 actually is a quantity that cannot be calculated directly numerically. Actually, so of course, you know, the Boltzmann factor is essentially a probability distribution. And here, we just integrate over a probability distribution. So we have something like a normalization factor, but we don't have something like an expectation value, right? In an expectation value, we have always a certain quantity times a probability, and this certain quantity here is just missing. For that reason, actually, it turns out that this equation 131 cannot be calculated neither by molecular dynamics nor by Monte Carlo methods. Things are, however, different if we look at the derivative of the free energy. For instance, the derivative of the free energy with respect to temperature. Okay, that's now given in this equation 132. And yeah, we see what do we get. I mean, if we take the derivative, of course, of the exponential function, we get back the exponential. And therefore, again, we have here the free energy. And then, we see that this derivative is then finally equal to minus the energy divided by the temperature squared. Okay, how do we get that? I mean, like, if we look, we can either derive this formula in the classical context or in the quantum mechanical context, right? Always, essentially, it's based on the fact that, yeah, if we have a quantity of the type ESA as shown in equation 133, you see here we have again our probability distribution, the Boltzmann factor, but then we multiply with this something, right, which is here just the energy. So equation 133 is calculating the energy expectation value, right? And here, of course, here that's again in the quantum mechanical formula, where I assume that we know also quantum mechanical levels, EI. And yeah, in order to normalize everything properly, we have still to divide by this set, which is the so-called partition function from statistical physics. Yeah, now if we calculate the derivative in the classical context, then we obtain equation 135, right? And then you see again here, yeah, the important difference is now under the integral, right? I have not just the Boltzmann factor, but I have the Boltzmann factor times the Hamiltonian. That means also here, That's the energy expectation value, right? And since the Boltzmann distribution is not normalized, I have to divide by this normalization factor, which is the set, right, which is this partition function, which is given by equation 136, right? And we know this by itself we cannot calculate. Okay, now if we need energy expectation values and we have a system that's ergodic, right? That means time averages are equal to ensemble averages. And also we have seen that's actually true for more or less all realistic systems. Then yeah, we can calculate this energy expectation value, for instance, by molecular dynamics. So what does it mean? We have to run at a certain temperature a molecular dynamic simulation that's long enough such that we get a well-converged energy. Yeah, and then, of course, from this equation 132, then we can, by integrating, we can arrive at equation 137. And you see here, this equation allows us to calculate essentially a free energy difference as well. I mean, it's always the free energy divided by the temperature, but at two different temperatures. It's an integral over this energy as a function of a certain tau, right, which is now just the integration variable over the temperature, right? So this tau goes from an initial temperature T0 up to a final temperature capital T. Yeah, so if we do numerical work, then of course also this integral in the right-hand side of equation 137 has to be solved numerically. So that means it has to be replaced by a sum. And that means that I have to calculate now the energy expectation values at several temperatures in this interval between T0 and T. And as we have seen before, right, if you want to calculate the expectation value of the energy at a certain temperature, we have to run presumably quite long molecular dynamics simulation. And therefore, you can see that calculating free energy differences according to this equation 137 is numerically quite costly because you have to do a big number of long molecular dynamics simulations. Of course, if you use classical molecular dynamics, of course, also it's clear that quantum mechanical effects are, of course, not taken into account. If the temperature is relatively high, that's typically okay. And actually, just in this case, also we know that the anharmonic effects are important. So yeah, that's typically used at high temperature where anharmonic effects are important. Yeah, in this formula 137, which is also called thermodynamic integration, I did the integration now along a physical variable, namely the temperature. But it turns out you can do this thermodynamic integration on a computer also with respect to quantities that cannot be manipulated in an experiment, that are not kind of control parameters like the temperature in an experiment. And a typical example is here, for instance, that's a question that's, for instance, typically relevant in biology. You want, for instance, to calculate how does the free energy of a biomolecule change if you replace one, for instance, side chain by another side chain. Okay, now, so you have your two molecules with the two different side chains, and you can say that to each of them, you have for each of them, you have a function that describes its energy, UA and UB. And then on a computer, actually, you can kind of continuously transform the system A into system B. Of course, in experiment, it wouldn't be possible, right? I mean, you cannot slowly transform one side chain into another one. You can just really abruptly take away one side chain and put in the other one. But on a computer, you can do that. And then you can say, well, I have now a potential or an energy that depends on a scalar lambda, that's equation 138. And if lambda is zero, then I have the system A described by UA. And then if lambda is one, then U is equal to UB and I have the system B. Yeah, okay, now if we want to calculate the free energy, then of course we have to plug in everything again in our equation. That's now equation 139. So that's the equation we have seen already before for the free energy. So the important thing is now here you just see the Hamiltonian in the Boltzmann exponent depends now on this factor lambda. Okay, so that means I can now analytically take the derivative with respect to lambda of this equation 139, and then I obtain this equation 140. And you see here again, now this quantity du d lambda, that's obviously an expectation value, right? Because we calculated as an integral over du d lambda times the probability function, which is a Boltzmann exponent divided by the normalization factor. Yeah, so then of course I can now do again this thermodynamic integration. So I can calculate u of lambda for different values of lambda and then integrate from lambda to zero to lambda equals one. And in this way, then I will obtain the free energy difference between this system A and this system B.